Do you know how much cash back you're leaving on the table for settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cash back on your groceries for the next 30 years. Just think of all that cash back you can get on those groceries. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today, so the future you will thank you for it. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? A getaway with the kids? A spa day for yourself? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. And don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Paying for college shouldn't be the hardest part of higher education. Hi, it's Rena Ninen, co-host of the Ask Lisa podcast. I recently spoke with U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona about FAFSA, the free application for student aid. Did you know you can apply for financial aid today and you'll get a response within 1 to 3 days? Check out our show notes to the link for the full interview on our Ask Lisa podcast YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe for the latest videos from Lisa and me. That's the Ask Lisa podcast YouTube channel. This is Ask Lisa, a podcast to help people understand the psychology of parenting now in the midst of a pandemic. Psychologist Dr. Lisa DeMore, author of 2 New York Times best-selling parenting books, takes your questions. And I'm co-host Rena Ninen, a journalist and mom of 2. Some of what we talk about comes from raising children ourselves. Most of the time, I'll be getting answers to your parenting questions. So send your questions to Ask Lisa at drlisademore.com. Episode 53, should I comment on my child's weight? What does it say about me psychologically that I'm that mom who puts out the decorations like a month early? Like we have like 8 pumpkins. I put a scary witch hanging from my neighbor's tree that my husband said, they're not going to like that. Why are you doing that? That's not even your tree. I do love Halloween.
I love it. I love Halloween. And my kids love Halloween. It's like, it's such a great holiday in so many ways. There's no question about it.
It is. But I always have this issue of when do I dump the candy and hide it? Now they're at that age where they know how much candy they have. So I can't. And you can't take it to work anymore because you're working from home. I used to dump bags off.
Exactly.
We thought this might be a good week to sort of talk about kids and weight. And we got this letter, Lisa, that says, dear Dr. Lisa, I have an 11-year-old daughter, and one of the hardest issues we've had to face has to do with her relationship with food. She's eaten more than ever. She's already overweight. And I find myself in a difficult situation. If I say something about it, she gets even more anxious or frustrated and eats even more. On the other hand, if I do not say anything about it, I feel I'm not helping her. I know she's not happy about her body, although she never says anything about it, but that's not my main worry. I just want her to have a good relationship with food. Do you have any words that might help me deal with this situation? Thank you so much. We've had conversations about food, but what do you think in this instance this mom should do, Lisa?
It's so delicate, and I am so appreciative of this letter and how thoughtfully it lays out the dilemma this mom feels of worrying about her daughter's weight, both from, I wonder, maybe a health perspective. She uses the term overweight, which raises a question about whether there's a health question at work here, and also worrying about it from the perspective of how her daughter feels about herself. And yet knowing that if she brings it up, it doesn't go well, and not wanting to hurt her daughter or hurt her daughter's feelings, and yet feeling remiss in not saying something. And it's just, it's an incredible dilemma that this parent is bringing to us. And I think one that a lot of parents feel. It's certainly common.
How should this mom start this conversation without isolating her daughter?
this question about how to walk up to it, how to actually approach it, becomes very tricky. So let's take several steps back and think about this from a few different perspectives. So one has to do with what it means to be of a healthy weight. And the reality is that what constitutes a healthy weight is very different from what the culture says you're supposed to look like, especially if you're a girl. And there's very much an important and powerful movement to acknowledge that people can be healthy at weights that are not typically regarded as slim or, you know, culturally approved and celebrated. And so one of the challenges here is disentangling health from cultural standards. And and so on that line, what I would want the parent to do would be probably to confer with a pediatrician about whether or not what this mom is calling overweight is really a medical concern or more of an appearance, you know, cultural sanctioning concern, because those are two very different things. And when I have talked with my colleagues in the eating disorder world, their take on this is they do fully support the sort of healthy at every weight view of things to a limit. And then they will say, but then there are weights that people can get to where health does start to become a problem. And so it's a delicate dance between acknowledging that you don't have to be slim to be healthy, which is so powerfully the messaging that is all around us. And yet at the same time, there are limits on how much weight a person can carry and not be potentially running into health consequences as a result. So that's a place where I'd want the parent maybe to tease this apart with a physician by calling and saying, here's where things are. Do I need to be worried from a medical perspective?
How do you talk to a child about weight? You know, it's so tricky, right? So how exactly do you have that conversation about your relationship with food?
It is tricky. And I would say let's take it as an advantage in this. It's also a constant, right? It's in front of us all the time. We are eating all day. We are eating together, hopefully, at parts in the day. They're watching us eat. We're watching them eat. And fundamentally, you know, this parent says this in the letter, like, I want her to have a healthy relationship with food. You know, we want food to be a source of pleasure, a source of joy. You know, there's not a lot of constantly renewable joys in life. Food is on that very short list.
Yeah.
So part of how we go about it comes from this world of intuitive eating, which I think is really smart, which is to really frame eating as something we do in response to cues we're getting from our own body, that our body tells us when we're hungry, our body tells us what we might want, and that we want to tune into that. And our body also tells us when we're satisfied. And so one of the ways to drive the conversation there is to not restrict food groups, to not focus on portion size, to never talk about calories, because that then starts to have the conversation dictated by external forces that people are or kids start to watch and pay attention to, when what we really want is kids tuning into, what am I hungry? Am I hungry? What am I hungry for? Now that I've eaten, am I still hungry? Mm-hmm. And that's how we want to frame it. So a way to do that might be if your child is reaching for that second or third piece of cake, to maybe say, are you still hungry? And asking, you know, is that what this is? Are you still hungry?
Oh, interesting.
And then maybe, you know, without saying, well, you can't have all those sweets, don't have all that sugar, because you want to be cautious about how much you restrict or regulate that. Saying, you know, I'm wondering if you actually could use something that had a little more heft to it, had more nutrition in it, and if that might help you feel more satisfied. So do it from the perspective of health and nutrition and satisfaction, not from the standpoint of don't. It's more about what you do get to have and what your body needs to be healthy, as opposed to what you're not allowed to have.
So when you've got a season like Halloween, Christmas, where you know the sweets just keep coming and coming, How do you deal with that?
Well, so what do you do? Every family has this dilemma, right? And and so first of all, the kids come home. Do your kids sort the candy?
Oh, they bring it home?
Okay, so what does that look like? Like, so what is the sorting process? Because I think that plays into how we answer this question.
All the good stuff is put in one area.
What makes it good?
Reese's, peanut butter cups, Snickers bars, Kit Kats, those good chocolates. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And then, sometimes you get the one-off, the neighborhood person who put the gift bag, the little baggies together with the special, everything is sorted out. And then the parents get like the milk duds, the ones that even a parent doesn't really want to eat.
Well, so, right, those are the categories of like the stuff your kid really likes and wants, which in my family is also the chocolate stuff. Then there's the stuff that gets pushed to the side. So that tends in my universe to be like Starbursts, Jolly Ranchers, Sweet Tarts. Wow. Like those, like my kids don't like those very
much. Really?
That's
prime Twizzlers. Candy in my household.
Oh, yeah? Your kids like those things? Okay, so that's in their main category. Then there's the stuff that the parents can have. Mm-hmm. The kids don't care. Then there's the stuff we take. Okay, so what do you take from your kids' candy? Like, what are you waiting for on Halloween?
The Reese's peanut butter cups and the Snickers, for sure.
Those are yours. Okay.
The lollipops. They love the lollipops. I want nothing to do with that, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's Butterfingers. For me, it's all about the Butterfingers. Yeah, and I don't buy them any other time, but I love them. And so at Halloween, like my kids know, like that's just like the price of doing business is that they have to turn over their Butterfingers. Okay, so you end up then with a whole lot of candy. And most kids have some candy that they're just like, I don't care. So mm-hmm. that used to be the take to work candy.
Yes.
Like you said. Or the giveaway or the, some people just trash it. But then they have all this candy. So then what do you do with all this candy, Rena? How have you regulated this or managed this in your own home?
So it goes in a place and we decide, okay, you can have a couple of pieces over the next week, but then I think now they're at an older age, where they're almost done with elementary school. And so I think they're more aware, but this will be a different year to approach it, to have a conversation with them, to be like, okay, what should we do? We're not going to be eating candy for a month. So what do you guys think is an appropriate way to handle it? And then we can donate. So we're not just, sugared up for the next 6 months.
Okay. So your plan is to say to them, all right, now we've got like a ridiculous amount of candy and we're going to do something to keep it from being a constant and that seems to me, if they are open to that and that feels comfortable for you and comfortable for them and it's working, I think that's fantastic. We have a sweets box actually in our pantry.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a container where I keep whatever sweets I've purchased, and we'll probably dump what's left in the sweets box. Because my kids happen to regulate themselves pretty well, it's not something I feel. They're pretty intuitive, I guess I would say. I don't know exactly how that came to be, but I don't worry that if the sweets are there, they're going to eat them all at once.
Mm-hmm.
But I know some parents do. And I wonder if this parent who's writing us might worry about that.
What should we think about, though? I mean, everyone has their own way of dealing with it. What really matters when you're trying to establish a healthy relationship with food?
Well, so the intuitive piece for sure, right, of letting one's body tell you what it is you want and need, and including within that a wide range of nutrition in the name of taking good care of oneself, which is something we talk about all the time, taking good care of oneself. And if you're eating nothing but sweets, you're not taking good care of yourself. If you are not letting yourself have any foods that you find delightful and enjoyable, you're not taking good care of yourself. So I think that we want to always frame it in that way. I do think that what we really want to focus on here, Rena, if there's one thing that is so central in these questions, is to not get into a power struggle about the food.
Okay.
That, to me, is top here.
What do you mean by power struggles? Like, no, you can't have that. Stop.
Well, so I've thought for a long time about like various power struggles that come up in parenting. And there are four areas, Rena, where the kid has all the power. And if you get into a power struggle with your kid, it will go very badly. So one is toileting, actually. Your kid has all the power, and it's very ripe for power struggles. Another is sleep. You can't make a kid sleep. If they don't want to sleep, they can usually keep themselves up. A third is food. And then the fourth is actually homework and grades. Kids have all the power there, too. And it's very hard to make them do things they don't want to do.
No one's ever put it to me like that. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, so focusing on the idea of food and power struggles. So one thing I've seen parents do sometimes when they're worried about a kid's weight and, you know, not wanting their kid to eat sweets or treats or things like that, is that the parent takes them all out of the house. The parent stops purchasing them, or, you know, lets them have a couple of pieces of candy at Halloween, and then the rest is gone. And this is not something I've seen go well. And what I think about here is a teenager I cared for where her parent did this. Her parent wanted her to slim down and decided that she would just not have any processed foods in the house at all. And this was a teenager who would then drive to a convenience store and get whatever she wanted, none of it approved by the parent, and eat it and then just throw the wrappers away at school. And so, and it was interesting. This was a teenager who was in my practice who felt really ambivalent about doing this, didn't feel good about doing it, but didn't want to feel so totally controlled by her mom. And so she did it anyway. So we need to be aware that if you get into a power struggle with your kid around food, it can take a direction that you truly do not mean for it to take. So the guidance that we tend to fall back on here is that guidance around a young person's responsibility to take good care of themselves and the parents', you know, role as backing that up. And so that means tuning into their body and what their body wants and needs. And that means eating a wide variety of things. And so from that framing, it becomes a dilemma between the young person and themselves, not between the parent and the kid.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Ask Lisa podcast.
Hey, Ask Lisa listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. LolaVie is Jen's vegan and cruelty-free hair care line that is suitable for hair of all types and textures. And in fact, my whole family has converted over to using it. Me, my 13-year-old daughter, we're sending it to my kid at college, and my husband, who has graying hair that is not as soft as it used to be. What we love about LolaVie is that it leaves our hair so soft, and it also smells so good. Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair now at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use the code ASKLISA at checkout. That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code ASKLISA. Please note that you can only use one promo code per order and discounts cannot be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Your hair well, thank you.
Stitch Fix sends style so good, you can feel it. They deliver all the confidence that comes from a truly amazing outfit without any of the work. You don't have to get into your car. You don't have to go through hangers and figure out what section to find what you're looking for. It's so simple. What my stylist does is they take my wardrobe to the next level. She shows me what works for me. She helps me discover new things that I like that I wouldn't have picked up if I was browsing online or even walking through a store. As the seasons change, you want different things. And when there are big events in your life that you want to dress up for, Stitch Fix has you covered. And I also love that I've got everyday staples from Stitch Fix that feel good on, that I'm constantly reaching for in my wardrobe. Style that makes you feel as good as you look. You can get started today at stitchfix.com/AskLisa. That's stitchfix.com/AskLisa. stitchfix.com/AskLisa. With Mother's Day coming up, I want to take a quick moment to appreciate not only the moms, but anyone who's taken on the role of caregiver. You do everything for everyone else. Now it's time to do something for you, starting with your skin. OneSkin has a simple, scientifically validated routine that keeps your skin looking and feeling younger. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's really the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that causes lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. I've been using their product for the past few months, and I'm hooked. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code ASKLISA at oneskin.co. That's 15% off of oneskin.co with the code ASKLISA. After you purchase, be sure to tell them that you heard about them from us. We hope you'll support the show and tell them we sent you.
Welcome back to the Ask Lisa podcast. So Lisa, what do you do if you're a parent who you know may have a complicated relationship with food or weight? Maybe you have an eating disorder. Maybe you're dieting all the time. Maybe you're overweight. It's harder then, right, to have that conversation.
It's really hard. It's really hard. And Rena, let's be honest. Do you think there are any women living in the U.S. who do not have at some level a complicated relationship with food and weight?
Very good point. Very good point. I agree.
I don't know that you can live in this culture.
Yeah.
And not struggle with that. Not, even if in your actions, you feel good about how you live, you know, that you're good on intuitive eating and you feel comfortable with your body and you like your body, and you don't measure your worth by the scale, even if one has gotten to that place and has been able to achieve that, it's impossible for me to believe. I mean, I want that woman to be out there, that that's not still somehow done with effort, you know, done against a backdrop of a world that has, especially for women, you know, but certainly men and boys are not immune to this, sent such incredibly powerful messaging around how much we are valued for our shape, vastly more than from what's inside that shape. Mm. So let's start with the idea that probably everyone has had to work out this relationship. And people may be in different places in working out this relationship. And we're parenting as we go. So what I will say is I'm so glad you're asking this question, because how we're dealing with this in our own lives is not at all separate from how we are dealing with this as parents, especially because, you know, our kids watch us so closely, whether we think they are or not. Serena, when it comes to dessert for you, and either at your own table or if you're out, how do you navigate that? Like, how do you do this in front of your kids as a mom and as a woman?
You know, it's not just dessert. I find that whenever there's like a big moment, or, you know, we scored two touchdowns at a Sunday morning football game, let's go out for ice cream. I'm constantly finding that the reward system is food, particularly in this pandemic, because there's not so much we can do, right? Go places or whatever. So I find myself trying to figure out other reward systems. So it's not just food, but with the kids, I try to have a conversation with them. And as they always say, oh, this is Miss Lisa's words, right? This is Miss Lisa. Miss Lisa says there are sometimes foods and everyday foods. And I think that we can have a sometimes food today. So it's getting in there, Lisa. Your words have impact in my household.
So you're talking about it, right? You're
We're
having an open conversation.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I did this the other day. I got really, really busy in meetings and ended up in those sort of back-to-back situations where I couldn't really eat in any way that I wanted to. And then wanted nothing but sugar and ate a huge amount of sugar just because I just was craving it. And I think I wanted, you know, that sense of fast energy because I just had a kind of a lousy day of access to food that I really would have found much more sustaining. And I and then I felt kind of sick, actually, from how I had gone about it. And I wasn't deliberately using it as an object lesson, but I did actually talk that through with my daughters that night. I was like, ugh, I had the worst food day. I was like, I was unable to get to good food all day. I just didn't figure it out. I didn't plan well. And then as soon as I could eat, all I ate was like, you know, sugary, fast energy food. And now I feel really gross. And I just said that. And they know how we live around. We have sweets. They have access to sweets. They don't have unlimited access. Like when the sweets box is empty, it's empty till I decide to go to the grocery store and put more stuff in it. But that felt to me like a place where I could just talk about the way in which food works in our life and the way in which I got myself into a position around food that I didn't want to be in, and but also treated it as like it was a weird day, and mm-hmm. tomorrow I will be able to do better planning and eat in more sustainable ways. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think we can do, even as we're wrestling with our own relationship with food and weight and appearance as members of this culture, another thing that really helps is to move away from the idea of what you can't have and to really focus on what should center in one's diet. And you mentioned my old thing that I stole from Sesame Street about sometimes food and anytime food, which mm-hmm. I think is a really nice way to frame it in terms of sometimes food being processed foods, anytime food being unprocessed whole foods that kids can, you know, comfortably access and know that they're really making choices that will take good care of their bodies. Another thing that I have taught my daughters along the way is for their meals, what they really want to focus on is getting protein, fiber, and healthy fat in those meals.
Okay.
And we talk about it from energy sustainability, that those are the things that the body breaks down that will give them a good, solid, steady energy. And then we talk about what makes those things up, you know, so, you know, what the various proteins are, those are pretty clear to kids. Fiber, you know, this is going to be breads, grains, nutrition, you know, nutrients like that and fruits and vegetables. And then healthy fats, so avocados, olive oils, nuts. And that, you know, kind of triad is a very nutritious triad. It's a great energy triad. And I like talking about food in terms of energy and having good energy. And then if their meals are centered on protein, fiber, and healthy fats, it makes it a lot easier than for them to not do what I did the other day of just craving and eating a whole bunch of sweets because I am so depleted from an energy standpoint. So I think it's this ongoing conversation, and our North Stars in that conversation are self-care and energy and intuitive eating and paying attention to what one's body is asking for and really not having it be about appearance and weight and scales and value being tied up in how we look.
That's great, because I go back to what this mom was asking, which you just beautifully answered, which is I just want her to have a good relationship with food. Which is, you're right, we've got to have these conversations about what healthy eating looks like and why it's important.
That's right. And I think that's the magic word is health, right? This isn't about appearance. This isn't about weight. This isn't about diet. This is about health. And our job all the time for ourselves and our kids is to be talking about food under that umbrella, that it is what keeps us healthy. It is what gives us energy. It is a source of pleasure. It should be enjoyable. And if we focus on those things and then also focus on being active as a family, doing physical things as a family, being, you know, busy in ways that our kids enjoy, you know, going on walks, going on bike rides, you know, playing games as a family, if that's something that parents like to do, if they like to play tennis, if they like to kick a soccer ball around, to have physical activity be also a pleasurable thing that we do in the name of health, in the name of enjoying, you know, what our bodies can do and also having fun with other people. If we center on that, things tend to go much better.
It's really great. I mean, it's a lifelong skill to learn that I feel you're constantly trying to understand and deal with. So thank you for that, Lisa.
Absolutely.
We should also mention we've got a couple of episodes, Lisa, that are worth going back to listen, right?
Absolutely. So today we talked about a child who may be tipping towards eating more than the parent feels comfortable with. In episode 11, we talked about eating disorder behavior in the traditional sense of people who may be restricting what they're eating, not eating enough, or doing things to get rid of calories they've consumed, such as vomiting or excessively exercising. For any child who's worried about an eating disorder and the presence of what we traditionally call an eating disorder, episode 11 may be helpful.
And also, wasn't episode 4 that we talked about foods?
We did. You know, that was very early in the pandemic, and it was very much around how weird those early days of the pandemic were, of just all of us being stuck at home and having nothing to do that felt good at all, and the place that food was starting to take in our lives. But that a lot of that may still very much hold up now, though happily the day-to-day of the pandemic feels very different now than it did when we were talking about that in September last year.
How things have changed in a year, huh? And some things are still the same. But tell us, Lisa, what do you have for us for Parenting to Go?
One thing we know that helps kids to have a healthy relationship with food is to enjoy making food. And part of how we can build a healthy relationship with food is to have our kids cook with us, have them choose what they want to cook, make it possible for them to use our kitchens to cook and support them as they do it. So that's something that parents can fall back on at any age as they're parenting, whether it's with little kids involving them with cooking or with older kids, putting them in charge of making meals and giving them some general parameters around what needs to happen and then letting them do their thing. Kids often take great pleasure in making food and then eating the food they've made.
It's really great. I hope you do find a Butterfinger somewhere along the way this week.
I will be getting my Butterfingers. I can promise you that.
You deserve it. And next week, we'll be talking about how and when you should give your kid a cell phone.
I'll see you next week, Lisa. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Ask Lisa podcast so you get the episodes just as soon as they drop. And send us your questions to asklisa@drlisademore.com. And now a word from our lawyers. The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. If you're looking for additional resources, check out Lisa's website at drlisademore.com. We'll see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.